Our scripture today is Acts chapter 11, 19 through 30. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, that is the Jews, or I'm sorry, the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The reports of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. May God bless the reading of his word.
All right, what is up? My name is Russell Cravens. I used to pastor here, was fired, and they rehired me, so now I'm back. Man, I am so glad to be with you all. It has been really fun this morning to just meet you, and some of you have come to near town while I was away on sabbatical, and you discovered what I know to be true and feel so fortunate to realize is that this is a cool church. It's got great people. God's done something cool here. And I'm very excited about being with you. And I just want to simply teach you this passage in Acts chapter 11 today. I have no special revelation that God gave to me while I was in the Rocky Mountains looking over his beauty. I just want to simply teach you the Bible, which is something that we've done every week in the life of this church since we began, and we still believe is enough to exalt Jesus and to direct your hearts and minds to the Lord, to receive Christ, and to begin a life in Christ. And so that's what we're passionate about. That's what we're going to do. But before I do open the scriptures with you, so if you have your Bible, open it up to the book of Acts chapter 11, or you know, Google it, or however you get to it, you dang-fangled kids and your technology. But I just want to say a couple of things. You know, first of all, I want to say that I'm just grateful for your partnership in the gospel with the people of Neartown Church this summer. You know, I frankly never worried about whether or not the church would be okay. I know a couple of you did. You told me, like, oh man, are you sure? I never did, because this isn't my church. This is the, God's church, and we have amazing people in this church that I knew would be faithful. And so I'm really thankful for your partnership in the gospel. Summer's a weird time. People tend to kind of come and go, more go in the summer, and some of you have stayed. So well done. I'm proud of you and glad you're here. I knew at least my wife would be here this morning to hear my sermon, and so anyway, I'm super encouraged. I'm especially grateful for the work of the pastoring elders this summer, all of whom did things that I have no idea what happened this summer, frankly, and I'm okay with that, and they shepherded well and did a good job, and they successfully avoided calling me the entire summer, and so that was pretty awesome, and I was cool with that. Thanks to the staff, to Katie. Where's Katie? Is she in here? She's, I think, maybe getting the barbecue ready. Important role this morning. For Ty and Andrew. And I want to say a special word just of thanks to God for Andrew, because I know what it's like to be the lead pastor, and it's can be challenging at times, and the weight of it tends to be quite heavy, and Andrew did a fantastic job, and I listened to every one of his sermons all summer. I didn't tell him I was going to listen, and I tell you what, you guys got some really, really, really strong Bible teaching. The dude is gifted. I mean, he's like the total package, and I frankly developed a little bit of a man crush on him this summer. And here we are. So I'm thankful for Andrew and his leadership and the way he thinks about ministry. He loves God. He loves you. And Andrew and Megan, I saw Megan somewhere around here. Megan's in the, oh, there you are in the back. Okay. It's a gift to our church to have you all with us. So thank you. I don't have to say that, but I mean it. And so I will. And then I just want to say just a word of thanks to you all, for the gift of a sabbatical. Although it's quite a common thing for pastors and churches, it tends to be unique in that not every church gives them, and sometimes people don't understand them, but I'm just grateful for the sabbatical that I was able to take for rest and recalibration. And just to be quite honest, I was more tired emotionally, mentally, physically than I realized, and throughout the summer, I felt frequently a deep appreciation for our time away. I did a lot of resting and listening. I didn't lead or preach anywhere. We attended six different churches at least once, and so that was really interesting to be participants in worship, and it was all interesting. Most notable was the time that the guy was preaching, and it got... You know, when, if I ever do this, just call me out on it. But he says, man, I've run out of time. I got to wrap this thing up. And so 15 minutes later, he's still talking. And I'm like, ah, oh, kill me now. Jesus, return. And then he does the thing like, you know what? I want all the dads to come up here. And I was like, Jeannie, we're leaving. And so I did it. I left. And so you have permission. If it gets bad, you can get up and leave. It's cool. I'm cool with that. So anyway, so we went to some different places, and in each place, I think God helped me to see what it is that we have here. It's so special. Where we're located on the globe and in this city and the kinds of people we have, and so I just gained an even greater appreciation for my role in the life of this church. So anyway, and one other thing I would say about that in terms of my time away, you know, frankly, by God's grace, I discovered some areas of my own heart that need attention. And in my marriage, and so even as I return and assume my responsibilities as a lead pastor, I'm really trying to do that carefully so that I don't move past what the Spirit of God has begun to do in me to transform and sanctify areas of my own heart and in my marriage so that I can continue flourishing in my own experience of the Lord Jesus Christ and continue playing my role in what God wants to do. So anyway, so I ask... I just want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for that. So I've said too much. Here we go. Acts chapter 11. Let me pray, and we'll kind of go from here. God Almighty, we love you. And God, it is a privilege to stand before your people in your church and open your word. And I pray that this morning what would stir people to move and act and here would be your Spirit. God, I rest not this morning on the eloquence of my own words or even the thoughts that I've put together based on the study of this passage, God, but I rest knowing that your Spirit will work. And we want to lift up Jesus this morning. We want for the Lord Jesus to become more clearly the King in this city and in our neighborhoods, in our homes, and in our hearts. And so, God, today I pray that even as we think about how you've worked in history, particularly in the life of the church in Antioch, that you would move us, you would rally us, you would stir us, you would compel us, God, to respond, God. We love you, and we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so this morning what I want to do, it's like a Vision Sunday, and I want to kind of give you some words from the Bible that can help you think about moving into this new season, this fall season, which we think about as we think about what God's doing in the life of our church. We typically think of like 3-4 month increments in a year, and this is the beginning of a new 4 month increment, and you know, and I want you to look with me at this passage, and I really want you to be inspired to think about what God could do in this city through the people of Neartown Church. And even as I begin to say these words, there's a problem, and the problem is that some of you feel too busy, or maybe you feel unsure of yourself, or maybe you feel as if things are too bad and someone like you could never make a difference in this city. And these problems tend to paralyze us in our Christian faith. And so what I'm asking God this morning is that by looking in the Bible at a time when God worked, that we would get a compelling vision, a renewed sense that God wants to do something in our city, and the way he's going to do it is through people like us. Period. End of conversation. And so the main idea, the thing that we're really charging after this morning, is this phrase: God uses the no-names to transform the world. God uses the no-names to transform the world. So just a little bit of history here to kind of get you up to where we are in Acts chapter 11. Christianity began in rural Galilee before making its way to urban Jerusalem. And as it was spread, it was opposed. And in Jerusalem, people began to die for their faith in Christ. And there was one man by the name of Stephen. He's talked about earlier in the book of Acts. He was stoned to death for his Christian faith. And so his friends began to flee Jerusalem, and some of these friends traveled as far as Antioch, the city to the north. They fled the persecution and made their way to Antioch. And so let me tell you a little bit about this city called Antioch. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the city name Antioch. I hope so, because I've just said it like 3 times. Come on. So like Houston, Antioch was a very beautiful, very large port city in the Roman Empire. Okay. Like Houston, Antioch was a large port city. And Antioch was beautiful. Antioch was known for having a unique mixture of beliefs and types of people and political views and people from different ethnic origins. It was an epicenter of Greek culture. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, and so lots of different kinds of people there. It was heavily influenced by Greek culture, and it flourished economically because of where it was and the kinds of commerce that went on there. One thing about the city, which is notable, is that it was known for its moral laxity. In other words, anything goes. You can do whatever you want in Antioch, and it's almost not only accepted but celebrated. There were a variety of different religious expressions in Antioch, and one of those religious expressions demonstrated itself in the use of prostitutes for worship. So this kind of gives you a little bit of a picture of what Antioch is like, and frankly, it's a lot like Houston. So this is where we pick up in Acts chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, look there in verse 19, and so I'm going to read the first few verses and explain it, and then I'll kind of begin to move quickly to kind of get where we're going today. So now those who were scattered, now if you write in your Bible or you highlight on your phone or whatever, I want you just to write and underline that or highlight it or think about it or something. Just emphasize it, because I want you to see something here. I actually think that in this passage, these are the main characters. Those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, which I talked about, he was stoned to death in Jerusalem. I got to be careful when I say stoned in Jerusalem, because I just spent a month in Denver and it means something other, you know. So I'm like, he's stoned to death in Jerusalem. Where was I? All right, here we go. I'm a little rusty. It's been 3 months. Okay, here we go. He traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, okay? Speaking the word to no one except Jews. So those who were scattered, they began to move and begin to share with people about their faith in Christ. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists. Who are the Hellenists? Very simply, they're the Greek-speaking Jews. So they are Jewish in their ethnic origin, but they understand Greek culture. They speak the Greek language, which may be one reason they went to Antioch, where many people spoke Greek and the Greek culture was so strong. So they begin to speak to the Hellenists, and they preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this with me for a moment, that Luke is telling us in this event in Antioch, which we'll find it is a significant event, a significant time, the people who began it were this group of people called those who were scattered. We don't even really know their names. The best we know about them is they were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. There's no names here for this group of people that first went to Antioch. It did something that would transform the world. And what I want you to understand, this is the big idea, big point, God uses no names. And the no names are important. All of us have been impacted by people that we may not even know their names. For instance, do you know the name Willis Haviland Carrier? Probably not. He wrote a paper, Rational Psychometric Formula, and it was shared at a meeting called the American Society of Mechanical Engineers over 100 years ago, 150 years ago. In this document, have you read the paper by chance? Any? Okay, probably not. Okay, so this document tied together the concepts of relative humidity, absolute humidity, and dew point temperature, thus making it possible to design what? Air conditioning. So he's kind of a no-name, but yet this guy's life was so used that he provided all of us a greater experience on earth. Give it up for air conditioning. Yes. When I left Colorado, it was 55 degrees in the morning. We stayed the night in Wichita Falls. It was 105. I was like, God, am I ministering in hell? I mean, have you sent me to hell to share Christ? Anyway, I know I get no sympathy from you all because most of you are here all summer. But anyway. So this guy Carrier, he did something with his life that impacted people's experience in this life. But here's what I'm telling you. Well, God uses the no names, not just to impact people's life on earth, but to impact their eternity. That's the kind of God we serve. And Luke simply refers to them as those who were scattered. And I love this because oftentimes in our day, the big names get all the press, right? But we see throughout the Bible that God wants to work through people who may never be recognized for it, which is most of you. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean to you, but most of you are the no-names. We are the no-names in Christian history. Most of you will live your entire Christian lives without ever pastoring a church or writing a Christian book or being written about in the history of Christianity. And because of this, sometimes what happens to us is we begin to think that God can't use us. But God uses the no names, and you know that. So he can use you. So how is it that God uses the no names? Well, verse 21 says it very clearly. And the hand of the Lord was with them. I love that. I've been thinking about getting a tattoo. That may be it. Right there. Hand of the Lord. Or maybe right here. Maybe on my forehead. I don't know. Somewhere. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. You see, the thing about it is, when God begins to work through the no name, it's because he's not about their name. He's about his name. And when the hand of the Lord wants to do something, it's going to happen in a city, it's going to happen in a neighborhood, it's going to happen in a family, it's going to happen in your heart. The hand of the Lord is with them. That's all you need to hear. It doesn't say that after they argued skillfully, people believed. It didn't say after they lived perfect lives that people believed. No, these people are not super Christians. They're ordinary people that stepped out on faith and said, God, use me. And God said, I will. And then it impacted people's eternity. Hand of the Lord is with them. This phrase, the hand of the Lord, I wish I had more time. There's so much I could say about it, but what I will do is read you Psalm chapter 89, verse 13. The psalmist says, you have a mighty arm, strong as your hand, high your right hand. We see verses like this throughout the Bible and in the Old Testament. where the hand of the Lord, as a phrase, is used dozens of times to represent the strength of God to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And you say, well, I don't know, you know, things are different today. You know, the culture is this, or the city is that, or I'm too busy or whatever. And like, it may be different, but I dare say it's not any more difficult than it was when God worked hundreds of years ago. The hand of the Lord will work. It also interesting is that in the Old Testament, many of the verses seem to reveal that the hand of the Lord is about saving. So the hand of the Lord saved people from their enemy, from themselves, from starving. But here we see that the hand of the Lord is used with them as they're sent. They were saved, now they're sent. The hand of the Lord is working. God uses no names. And I realize it may seem difficult. And when things get difficult in life, things get complex, we tend to retreat and be silent. But when the hand of the Lord is with us, anything is possible. I spent a lot of time this summer outside, and which is what we wanted to do. We did the first big chunk towards the east, and we spent a few weeks in the Smoky Mountains. And every day we hiked. We were outdoors a lot. And then we spent a month in Colorado in the Rocky Mountains, and we stayed right on the Colorado Trail. So every day, I know some of you are like, I hate you right now, but that's okay. And we hiked a lot. We spent a lot of time outdoors. And nearly every time I went somewhere, I was not alone. I had my wife and our four children, Kobe, Keaton, Price, and Dryden, 12, 10, 8, and 5. And so as you can imagine, when you're hiking that much, there's not always as much excitement from them as there is from me. But one thing that became clear to me as I was thinking about this idea of the hand of the Lord, and when we have the hand of the Lord in our lives, we're able to do things that we could not do otherwise. I was just reminded of, kind of taken back to a couple of points this summer when I'm on the trail with my kids and they've either gotten weary or maybe they've gotten scared. And very simply, all I had to do was grab a hold of them and hold their hand. I did a lot of hand holding this summer. And I promise you this, had I, as their earthly father, not been there to hold their hand, they would have never gone. They would have never traversed whatever terrain was before them. Never. They would have never gotten to get to the point at the top of a hill that we would work for in walking to see the view that would be so breathtaking to them. Why? Because my hand as their father was with them. And it makes me think about the Heavenly Father. When we grab a hold of the Father's hands, when the hand of the Lord is with us, he will use us to do things that we could never do on our own. He will experience things that we can never do on our own. This is the reality of the way that the Heavenly Father works with us. When the hand of the Lord is with you, not only are you saved, but you're sent. Now, there may be some of you who are here and you're not yet believers that Jesus is Lord, and you've not yet come to a place where you've been willing to give your lives to Christ. Well, I want to tell you some good news. This is the good news we like to share every time we gather as people. Though you deserve death for your sin, God has made a way through Christ for your sin to be forgiven. When Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago, he died for sin. And through faith, you can accept forgiveness made available to you through God, by God's incomparable love for you. That's the gospel message. Somebody asked me in coming back, like, so what are you going to say? And I said, I'm not saying anything different than I've been saying for 20 years that I've been preaching. God has made a way through Christ for you to experience new life, having your sins forgiven, so that someday you will stand before God, and rather than receiving the wrath of God's hand, you will receive the embrace of God's hand. This is made possible through Jesus. So maybe you're here and you've kind of been checking out the church or thinking about it, and you say, you know, I like this group of people, but I'm not sure about giving myself over to this idea. And what I would say, why not? Why not? All of us will stand before God someday and have to give an account for our lives. And God will not look at your life and say, well, were you a good person? Did you work in Kid City at your church? No, none of that is going to earn you salvation. It's by God's grace that you're provided salvation. You receive it through faith in Christ. This begins the new life. This is essentially you saying, Father, I take your hand. Let's go. Let's get on the trail. And here's the thing. Whenever that transaction takes place in your heart, God's Spirit begins to dwell in you, which is simply means that the hand of the Lord is with you. I was trying to figure out, like, okay, what's the formula for getting the hand of the Lord? Man, if a lot of people are going to say, we need that, and that's going to be the name of our new outreach ministry. No, it's very simply, we are followers of Christ. The Spirit of God is in us. We're sent. The hand of the Lord is with us. Let's be faithful, and let's let God work out the rest. So this movement began to spread. Well, let me just stop here and say, if you're here and you've not yet responded by taking the Lord's hand, receiving forgiveness of your sins by way of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, then do it today. I mean, why waste another day of your life? You would say something to God like, God, I want to take your hand. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want this new life in Christ. And then you begin this journey. And the purpose of the church is we get to come around you and love you and care for you and walk with you and hurt with you and struggle with you and rejoice with you and all of these things. This is the purpose of the church. Do it today. This movement in Antioch began to spread. Things began happening, and so much so that the word got back to the mother church in Jerusalem, and they're like, oh, what's going on in Antioch? We've got to check this out, right? And so they sent Barnabas. You know anything about Barnabas? Barnabas was a man talked about by Luke here as a good man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith to check things out. Barnabas is known as being an encouraging kind of a leader in the first century church. I imagine he's kind of a rotund, you know, guy that's you know, a good hug, you know, kind of that guy. He'd encourage you and a teacher and would kind of awkwardly maybe kiss you on the cheek sometime, you know, one of those kind of guys, you know. And we need some more of those. So if any of those, you want to be Barnabas, let it happen, okay? So verse 23 says, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. So the word gets back to the church in Jerusalem. Barnabas comes, he checks things out in Antioch and goes, whoa, something's going on here. Okay, remain faithful. Keep it on. God is here. God's doing something. Be faithful. Just stay focused. And that's really what I'm doing here today. I mean, I'm saying, okay, here we are. We're on course. Let's stay focused. We have a steadfast purpose, and that is to invite busy people to experience a peace of life with Jesus Christ in Houston, Texas. That's our mission. That's what we're doing. Let's stay focused. Let's get it. Well, Barnabas says, man, something significant is happening here. We got to go get the man. So he travels 100 miles and goes and gets Paul from Tarsus. And Paul comes back. Now, Paul is a different kind of a figure because I don't sense that he is like a hugger. You know, he's kind of like the guy like come in and means business. He's going to like, he knows theology, he knows the doctrines, he knows the story, he's an apostle, he's a really strong leader in the life of the early church. And so he comes back and like checks things out. Barnabas, you're right. They stay there for a year, the two of them, and they're just teaching them. Verse 26, for a whole year they met with the church and taught great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians, which is kind of interesting. So this church in Antioch is flourishing, and the word gets again to Jerusalem that Paul and Barnabas are there. I mean, things are happening in this little fledgling church. The word gets back to Jerusalem, so that more church leaders come. A guy by the name of Agabus comes. He's a prophet, and he brings to them a message from God saying, there will be a famine in the land. You better prepare for it. And so what is the church going to do? They're a new church. They're kind of still trying to figure things out. They're probably still trying to establish who their leaders are. I mean, Paul and Barnabas have come, and now Agabus has come. And so they're trying to kind of figure things out there. And then all of a sudden they hear, oh, whoa, 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 here's an opportunity to do something that really meets the physical needs of people. What are we going to do? Verse 29 says, So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to their brothers living in Judea. They're like, yes, we don't want to just be about words about how much God loves people and God cares for people and God's made a way for people to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. We don't want to just be about that. We want to also be people who demonstrate God's love by helping to meet the physical needs of people. I love it. So, did you see what's happening here? The Christian church in Antioch grew strong by the hand of the Lord. God provides leaders to teach in them and strengthen them. And then they're compelled as the work of God in their congregation is beginning to well up within each of their hearts. They're compelled to give generously to meet the practical needs of others. And it not only impacted Antioch, but it was known throughout the world. And in fact, if you were to read further in the book of Acts, you would see that the church in Antioch, which was started by no names, became the primary sending church for Paul on his missionary journeys when he took the gospel to the ends of the earth. I mean, come on. One of the guys that I heard preach this summer, he said about 45 times in a sermon, that's good preaching right there. And I said to myself, that's dumb, but I'm going to tell you something. That is good preaching right there. How to start? A bunch of no-names. A bunch of no-names said, yes, God, we want to be a part of something. This church was started with a bunch of no-names. I mean, I thought maybe at one point I had a name, but I learned very early on, I don't have no name. I'm a no-name. You're a no-name. We're the no-names in the city of Houston. And when the hand of the Lord is upon us, we will get to see people believe and turn to the Lord. Some of us may have lost the crispness of that reality because you feel too busy. You feel unsure of yourself. You got plenty of your own problems. I get it. I get all those things. And let me tell you something. That will never change. Just to encourage you. That will never change. You'll always feel busy. You'll always have struggles. You always feel inadequate. But let me tell you something. When the hand of the Lord is upon you, he uses the no-names. And that gets me excited. So what does that mean? Very practical. Let me give you three things and I'll be done. The no-names must believe that when the hand of the Lord is upon them, people will believe. You got to believe it. You got to believe God wants to use you in your workplace. You have got to believe that God wants to use you in your classes. You've got to believe that God wants to use you on your block. You've got to believe it because it's true. God wants to use you. And you say, well, I've tried and it's not worked. Let me tell you something. It won't always work. It won't. And that's okay. And what you have to trust is that the hand of the Lord is already actually before you in all of these relationships. And what you're looking for are the places that God has begun to work already, and he wants to use you in the lives of people. Sharing with them the good news about who Jesus Christ is, helping meet a practical need of theirs. That's what God wants to do in your life. And you say, I don't know about that. Well, the other option is this. Work, earn money, eat, sleep, and eventually die. That's the other option. Is that what you want? If that's what you want, take it. But what I'm telling you is this, is that if you're a no-name and you want God to use you, he will use you to impact someone's eternity. That's the kind of life I want to lead. The second thing is that the leaders in the church, in this church, the Barnabases and the Pauls, we must continue teaching God's word. And I'm not the only Barnabas and I'm not the only Paul. We have a whole group of leaders. We have a leadership development program in this church because we care about discipling people in the positions of leadership. We must continue teaching God's word, and we will. I promise you that. And you must continue receiving it, which means very practically, you got to show up to stuff. I mean, let's be honest. You got to show up to Sundays. You got to prioritize going to midweek loop groups. And I get it. You're too busy. I'm too busy. But it's got to happen. When we offer learning clinics, take advantage of them. And you know what else you get to do? Invite people to join you. And if there's something about Sunday morning or a loop group or a learning clinic that you think that, man, that would never invite people, tell us, because we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for people like you to encourage you in your faith and to make it a place where you can invite other people. You say, well, I think we should sing more. I think we should sing less. Let us know. And we may say, hey, you know what? You're right. That's a great idea. And we may say, you know what? You're dumb. But let's move forward. I wouldn't say that. Andrew would say that. So this year, what we have prayed and asked God for is 120 people in discipling relationships in the life of our church. And the biggest obstacle, as I see it very simply, is people going, hey, I'm going to make time for it. So do it. I want to challenge you. If you've not gotten into a loop group, get into a loop group and try it for this fall, okay? Just try it for this fall. And if you don't like it, if you don't experience a depth of meaningful relationship with other people in that group, if you don't feel as if you're growing in your understanding of who God is and who you are and what he wants you to do in this life, if you get into a group and you don't feel cared for and loved on and people are concerned about you, then at the end of this semester, you can come and I will let you put Andrew in a headlock, okay? So if you don't want to do it, if you do it and you decide you don't want to do it, just give it a chance, all right? Leaders must continue teaching God's word. You must continue receiving God's word. And finally, I'll be done. We must all allow our lives to be disrupted. And I love routine. I like eating the same thing for breakfast, getting up at the same time, doing the same thing in the same order. That's the way I like to work my work week. It's the only way I can keep up with it all. But every once in a while, it's really good when we allow our routine to be disrupted so that our eyes can be open to the opportunity that God will use us in the city. Maybe it's a new friendship that you'll develop through whatever you do for recreation in your exercise class or art class or whatever you do for fun. Maybe it's somebody at work. Open up your eyes, allow your lives to be disrupted so that God will use you in the lives of people around you. And oftentimes, it begins with being intentional about a relationship. I don't think in my sabbatical, we went to, I don't know, 3 or 4 different places. And I loved that nobody knew who I was. And so any sort of like being kind or friendly or having spiritual conversations wasn't because it might result in somebody coming to our church. It was simply because it was an opportunity that God presented. I took advantage of it. And I loved it. I loved going to the different places. And I went to a few different CrossFit gyms, and which is where I met people. And just getting these conversations, which is always funny. They're like, what do you, like, so you have off for 3 months? Oh, it must be nice. And I'm like, oh, let's back up here. You know? And I say, they say, what do you do? And I just started telling people, I'm in people development. They're like, oh, yeah, what's that? I'm like, well, I let God use me to develop people. And then it gets, you know, they're like, oh, really? Well, that sounds cool. And then I begin to tell them I'm a pastor, and then they're not interested in talking. And but anyway, what I'm saying is along the way, I had to allow my schedule, my life be disrupted so that God could use me in the lives of people. I have spiritual conversations that happened all summer. I loved it. Will you allow your life to be disrupted? I hope and pray that you will. I believe our best days are before us. And I hope and pray that you'll lean in, that you'll open your eyes, and you will be reminded that God uses the no-names to transform the world. And we're not even asking God to use us to transform the whole world. We're just asking God to use us to transform this neighborhood. Let's do this. Let's think about these things and pray about these things. God Almighty, we love you. I love you. I love your word. I love, and I've missed the opportunity to just deliver it to this community of faith in a way that they might receive. And God, I am so grateful that you use the no names. God, if there was a time in my life where I thought I might have a name, you've crushed that. And so I gladly receive that and say, God, use us. We're the no names. Use us. We need your hand on us. Because there are people that live next to us that we work with, that we play with, that have not yet turned and believed in the Lord. God, I have to believe that when your hand is on us, that you can use us in the lives of those people to impact their eternity. What a joy that would be. So God, we will remain steadfast on that mission. We will not get off course. If we do, God, help us to course correct. We care about the lostness in this city. We care about those who will lay their heads on their pillows tonight without the hope of Jesus Christ. And God, some of us feel too busy. We all feel a little insecure, unsure of ourselves. We've all stumbled along the way, God. But what I would just pray is that your Holy Spirit just somehow, just supernaturally, even in this moment, be poured into our hearts, giving us courage to live the life of a no name for your glory and for your fame until the Lord Jesus returns. We love you, oh God. God, now we want to sing a song to you, a song of response. And I pray, God, that you would just help us to know how to respond. For those that are here that have never received Christ, I pray that this morning, during this song, that they would simply in their hearts reach out and grab a hold of your hand. I pray that those that need to be encouraged, you'd encourage them. I pray that those that are thinking about a coworker or a friend would be given confidence that, yes, you can use them as a no-name in the life of that coworker or friend. So, God, we just want to respond to you now before we take the Lord's Supper. We love you. I love you, God. Thank you. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.